This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Over the next year, if you know where to look, you can visit a room lifted whole from Damascus, Syria, the grave of the Cool Ghoul, a museum dedicated to Japanese-inspired lucky cats, the tallest steam engines in the world, and Futuro House, and never leave the tri-state. We are joined now by the author of Secret Cincinnati, Catherine Witt, and her husband, photographer for the book, John Witt. If you have a favorite place in the region that is not well known, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We'll find out if it's in the book or maybe if it should be added to the next version of the book. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. John, Catherine, welcome to Cincinnati Edition. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for inviting us.
So, you know, there's, what is it, 89?
89 secrets.
89 secrets. Some of these would be secrets for some people and not for others.
Correct.
But one that I just thought I'd start out with is the observation tower or deck at Carew Tower, because that's the place I take a lot of the tour groups that I work with. It is just – why did you – what caught – you got it pretty close to the beginning of your book. Why did you start there?
It seemed as we were going – driving around Cincinnati and to northern Kentucky, the view was always a huge thing. So we were getting great views from DeVue Park, coming down Gilbert Avenue, just all over. And the Carew Tower, that's sort of like the mother view, I guess. I mean, so when we were talking views, and it just it made sense to include it. And we talked to some people, they had not heard of it. They didn't know you could go up there. People who lived in the area all their lives had never been up there. And to have that kind of beautiful view and only cost $4.
Right. Cash only, though, of
cash
course.
Cash only.
That's right. It's not the most technologically developed place in
no.
the world.
So. And there are some steps. Not many, but you do have to do a few.
Well, you mentioned the four-person elevator to get up to those final – I refer to it as a rolling coffin myself. But,
it's very cozy.
Yeah, I recommend it if it's possible to walk the steps. I never want to get – stuck in that elevator.
Exactly. Oh, no. It's a little...
So, John, did you find the photography up there?
Oh, it was fabulous. Actually, taking shots of Kentucky across the river and both ends of the river, I could actually, with my camera, hit St. Rose Church, which is probably a good 5 miles from downtown.
Which is also in the book.
It's also in the book, yes.
And it's a good time of the year to go visit St. Rose Church, because most of our floods take place in late January.
And you can look on the back wall and it has all the floods, the dates. It was pretty much engulfed in the 37 flood, but it is a residual and they've brought it back. It's Romanesque. It's beautiful.
It really is very beautiful. I mean, it's a wonderful payoff when you walk into that church because it is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. And standing there by the ruler, you just realize how, you know, we've had significant floods in the past few years. Yep. But 1937 is really just – you want to find out why it's so different. That's a really good place to do it. One of the places that I also suspect a lot of people, even if they go to the art museum a lot, maybe don't know about the Damascus Room. And I think that's kind of an interesting that may be more of a secret in a well-visited place than some of the others.
Right. You need to know where to go to find that, because it's not obvious. I mean, so it's a bit of a walk to get back there, but it really is beautiful, and it does connect to our history with Juergens.
Andrew Juergens, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just to see the ornateness of it is something else, and the story of where this room came from, and the fact that it was used as everyday living space in his home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was his library. So you could go and just sit in this room, but to go in and walk in it and just to see the ornate carvings and everything, the detail that was in there, it's fascinating. And it's just a testament to his philanthropy to donate that to museum.
Well, the patterns, because it is Moorish in terms of the yes. patterns and Islamic art, that I think the art museum has a major exhibit coming up on Islamic art. And yet here's a piece that has been sitting there. And, of right. course, in the first part of the show, we had Happen, Inc., which is right down the street on Hamilton Avenue, Jurgens Park, where his house was and the Damascus right. room was right. just two blocks up. So, you know, it was right there in the center right. of everything.
Yep.
So let's go over to Northern Kentucky. You said okay. you could shoot from the observation deck over into Northern Kentucky. But Dinsmore Homestead out yep. in Boone County, mm-hmm. a little bit difficult to get to if you don't know where you're going.
It is. It's out there. John went out a number of times for the photography. I'd been out there. It's a wonderful story. You know, I learned about that place, I guess, when our kids were little. And I just want to share this very quickly. My daughter actually attended camp. They had camps out there every year. It was a really wonderful learning experience. And the first year she went, it was the hottest summer on record ever in Cincinnati. And it was torture. But the place is beautiful. The cemetery is an amazing place to see. And the photography possibilities were
great.
Outstanding.
As a matter of fact, in the Dinsmore Cemetery, there is only one person. It's not the family. And it was a friend who had visited, but in the day of horse and buggy and very little trains, she passed away. And she is the only family member buried in that cemetery to date. Mm-hmm. And that's really a kind of a way to, I guess they just more or less sent a telegram by snail mail and said, or a mail, and let them know about the passing of their loved one. So.
And the house was in this the same family
yes.
from the time it was built in the 1840s until right. it was turned over to the foundation.
Right.
And all their belongings are there.
All of them,
yes.
So you can
yes.
see it. There are things that you can touch. There are parts of what fascinated me, parts of Julia's diary that you can read.
Right.
And she sounds like she just really had a great sense of humor the way she wrote things.
I think a character might summarize
definitely
Julia
a character.
Yes. Yep. You have two elements that you include in your book that are connected to the waterworks. One of my favorite institutions. One is Elsinore Tower, which
yes.
lots of people know about. They drive past, but are pretty clueless about what it actually is. And the other part of this is the waterworks pumping station out in California,
right.
Neighborhood of California. So let's talk about the Elsinore Tower over on Gilbert Avenue, right mm-hmm. next to WCPO-TV.
Okay. And, you know, I think people, many who grew up in the area might remember going to the Cincinnati Museum of, I think it was Natural History, going there to walk the bridges inside before it moved over to Cincinnati Museum Center. So that arch is there. It's very castle-like structure when you see it. And it came about because of Cincinnati hosting a Shakespearean festival 1883.
Yes. Yeah, so, and backdrop was the inspiration
mm-hmm.
for – it was Hamlet's castle. It was
exactly.
Elsinore Castle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's its function?
He's going to trip us up.
Oh, I'm not trying to trip you. It's in your book.
Oh, yeah, right. It was the valve station to control the water from right. Eden Park.
That's right. right. It's a valve. Yeah. It's a valve yeah. house that controls the water coming down
right.
from the reservoir.
So pretty
right
amazing, beautiful structure to control water, I thought.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you also have in your book at another place the power station, mm-hmm. the original power station out at the California Water Works, which is just, it's a round building, mm-hmm. very unusual. And from a photography point of view, great place to photograph.
It was very, very fun to photograph. But I would tell you, most people don't know that you can actually take a tour there. It's free.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You just go in and they'll take you down to the bottom, show you the pumping situation. It's still wet down there. It stays that way. They'll show you everything that they can about the hydraulics and the systems. And it's just fascinating. They're all done by volunteers. Mm-hmm. And it is a if no one's ever had a chance to understand the water systems and the water tables, it's a great experience.
The steam engines are tall because on their huge structures because that building floods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to have them up high. It's kind of a trick. it's a trick point. And they don't work anymore. That's not how we pump water with steam. But it's just they're too massive and the building is too massive to remove. It's just the one thing you didn't mention at the waterworks that I wish you had, there's a little museum about the history of the waterworks, which my favorite historian, me, got to do. I worked with the waterworks. And if you want to see the original log pipes and a lot of the valves and, you know, all the technology has gone into it and understand what the rapid sand filtration meant to the city. That's another part out there that you can get in. But I think you have to make a reservation to do that.
Right. That sounds like book two.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. From Pyramid Hill Park in Hamilton to DeVue Park in Covington, our region not only has wonderful green spaces and trails, but lots of outdoor sculpture. We are joined today by the author of Secret Cincinnati, Catherine Witt, and her husband, photographer, John Witt. To join the discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. So let's plunge right back in. I sort of hinted at sculpture in parks. Pyramid Hill, this is a good time of the year for people to go there because of the Christmas light display.
Yes, they have a huge light show.
But I have to say that you'll miss a lot at night. Mm-hmm. You need to go back in the daytime as well. It's really sort of an amazing place. But let's pick up on DeVue Park. I grew up at the entrance of DeVue Park. And so the lake there, I think, has a really interesting story, and there's lots of tales, some true, some not, but who cares, about that lake. So what about the lake in DeVue Park?
Well, I'm sure you do know this, Dan, that it was a quarry at one point, and this is where rocks were crushed to use in the roads and buildings in Covington. And it...
Not with some great technology.
No.
No. In fact, I think on our Facebook page, we have a picture of what the equipment looked like that they used. And one fun fact that they used convicts for this purpose. But one of the things, the little wrinkle in the plan that soon revealed itself is that some of them were escaping as they were at the quarry.
They're in a park surrounded by woods.
Right,
exactly.
Right. Yes.
Who would have thought they would have escaped?
Perfect cover, you know?
It was the perfect cover. But we had a couple people share some other tidbits about Prisoner's Lake with us, and that is like there's almost like an entire town buried underneath the water. I guess when operations cease, a lot of things were simply left. So, I mean, it could be interesting excavation, I don't know. But basically, it went from a quarry. It's now Prisoner's Lake. They do a lot of, they have the annual fishing derby is held there. And it's very beautiful. And I think perhaps it might be a surprise to some people, you can fish there. You have your license. You can go there and fish. It's very peaceful and calm and quite beautiful.
Let's take up a couple of other sculptures in other parks. The sculpture in Eden Park at the reflecting pond of the she-wolf that was donated by Mussolini.
Yes.
And why do we have a sculpture given to us by a fascist dictator, and we seem to all like it?
Well, he thought Cincinnati was, you know, part of the Romanesque type era, and he donated these statues to anything with Rome, like Rome, Georgia, you know.
I think Rome, New York.
Rome, New York. Well. And he did the same thing with Cincinnati because he thought it was part of the Roman, and of course, it was his tribute. little did he know, nothing to do with that as far as Cincinnati. And you know as well as I do, and some of your listeners, the first president of Cincinnati's was who? George Washington. He would have never even thought to do that if he had known a little bit more about the history of Cincinnati.
Well, there's a reference back to Cincinnatus, and that's but it's not named directly after Cincinnatus.
Right.
That's the point. Then there's a statue down in Lytle Park of Abraham Lincoln, speaking of George Washington,
right.
which is really important, but it's not something people usually come away with saying, whew, that's beautiful.
Well,
right.
There's a reason maybe Abe had that beard. Let's put it that way.
That's true. He was not – well, I mean
– he was seasoned. How's that?
He was well seasoned. He really was. But that was – it's a particularly raw image of Abraham Lincoln, and it was because it was taken from his life masks. And that picks up every single, I guess, line.
Detail,
anything in your face. The artist used the life mask from his face and his hands. And so it's a dramatic and arresting statue. But when that statue was unveiled, a lot of people said it was the ugliest thing they'd ever seen and were actually
including Lincoln's son,
yes.
who wanted it taken down. it is a very – it's one that forces you to deal with Lincoln not in a glorified way, but
– Very true.
You know, what did life take out of this man? And because of the death mask use and that sort of thing. You know, a different kind of park that you – and I suspect a lot of people have not been to is the Fernald Preserve and way out in the northwest part of the county. Talk about that because that really is important on lots of different levels.
Right. And I think people who grew up here probably do remember when Fernald was Fernald, the uranium processing facility. That was a huge reclamation project. It now supports a lot of wildlife, but at one time in its history, it made, you know, the materials for nuclear bombs were produced there. So that was like 1951 to 1989. You come to the preserve now, and you've got from that kind of wasteland to where 245, 250 species of birds have now made that their home. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty extraordinary reclamation project in this area.
Mm-hmm. One of the Superfund sites that has really been transformed. Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's a small museum out there mm-hmm. done by UC students to help explain the history of the site as well as the new function of the as a preserve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of things I just have to raise here. The Party Source Spirits Library. Now, I love libraries, but this is a different kind.
This is probably the coolest library I've ever been in, and I love libraries too.
Do you spend a lot of time there?
I don't. I'd like to spend more. But it's pretty fabulous. They have this is for where the really good top shelf liquor is, and you can take tiny little samples, you know, to see if you might want to purchase some. But it's a cool concept. It's in a great setting. And I don't think many people walk out without buying something there.
You don't get to check them out for 2 weeks.
You don't get
no.
to return. Sadly, no.
But I mean, just the concept of a spirits library.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. The other place, and it appears on the front of your book as part of the illustrations on the book, is the Lucky Cat Museum. This is, I don't know.
It's pure fun.
One of the things was in your subtitle, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Not sure which one that fits under, but it's definitely one of them.
It is. And the museum there, the number of pieces in that museum, there are thousands. And this started as the artist's private collection. And it took over her home, and then it went into her studio. She's an artist working out there, but she has thousands of them. And it's free, so you can go in.
Where are these cats?
It's at the Essex Play Studio off of McMillan there.
But, I mean, these cats aren't just any kind of cat.
No. They're the lucky cat with a paw up, which is a beckoning, a welcome sign.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the coming out of a Japanese culture, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think WVXU reporter Tana Weingartner has a report on this collection, and I can be found on our website. So people, if they're interested in more of that before they go see it. At Christmas time, I think one of the things to raise, and I don't know if there's any tickets available or not, but the Boar's Head Yule Log Festival down at Christ Church mm-hmm. is a long-standing tradition.
Right.
And really an amazing production.
Right. Now, those tickets, you have to show up at a certain time. Can you pull that up and we can let people know? They have a limited amount of tickets. You have to be there in person to get them. And that is just amazing pageantry, color, beauty. It tells a story. It really is wonderful. Do you want me to?
Well, people can look it up and just want to call attention to mm-hmm. it. We only have about 30 seconds left. But is there some location that, you know, didn't make it in this time and you thought, I wish it had? That you just didn't have space for?
Yes, there were several. We started with 130. Yeah. We had to cut it down to 89. I like cemeteries a lot, and one was historic Linden Grove in Covington. I wish it could have gone in, but we have a number, including Spring Grove, where you mentioned earlier, the Cool Ghoul.
Yep. Right.
And one of Cincinnati's famous mediums, Laura C. Cooper Prudenar.
Okay, so there is a lot here, and it's a way of sort of plunging into our region over months. It gives you an agenda for months at a time. Thank you to John and Catherine Witt for being with us today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our program are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.